Welcome to Broadcast Advocate, a podcast from NASBA, the National Alliance of State Broadcasters Associations, which discusses the latest news, trends, and stories impacting the world of broadcast radio and television. I'm your host, Kyle Geisler, Vice President of the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association, and I'm joined today by my co-host.
Hi, I'm Jordan Walton, Executive Director of the Massachusetts Broadcasters Association. Today, we'll be discussing the future of broadcasting, including innovation, local relevancy, and engaging the next generation of broadcasters.
Dana Schaefer is a seasoned producer with a lifelong passion for radio and TV. She recently joined Radio Inc. as a contributing editor, and she is also currently working with news and entertainment companies, writing and voicing segments that air on 1,900 stations nationwide, all while supporting audio and video production, podcasting, and affiliate relations. From New York City to LA, Dana has devoted her time to crafting compelling stories and nurturing station relationships nationwide. Dana Schaefer, welcome.
Thanks for having me. Hello.
Let's start with an overview of your amazing career. Tell us where you started and how you got to where you are today.
Oh, man, that's a long story. It might take up the whole podcast.
We have some time.
Well, I always joke that I've been networking since I was 7 years old because I knew what I wanted to do since I was a kid, being radio and TV. And back in the day in my town, there used to be sorry, that's my cat's tail on the table already. WABC and WPLJ used to have charity baseball games in my town. So I would go there every year when I was like a kid, being like, I want to work with you one day. Ultimately, to the point where I was in college radio and the executive producer of WPLJ came in. And I was like, I know you from somewhere. You're like, no, you don't. And I was like, no, I definitely do. And then I did, obviously. And that was my first internship at WPLJ with Scott and Todd in the morning. And then from there, it just kind of spiraled out of control in a good way and went to CBS Radio, iHeartRadio, did a few video production jobs in LA, moved back and forth a few times, and wound up at ABC. And now here I am, you know, doing some Radio Inc. jobs and some other things, some other side gigs.
Definitely keeping busy, it sounds like.
Absolutely. I love it though.
Dana, the prevailing thought is that younger generations, Gen Z, Gen Alpha, don't watch TV, don't listen to the radio. Can you talk about these next generations of content consumers as well as content producers? How should broadcasters interact with media consumers and make themselves an enticing place for young content producers to work?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a changing landscape, right? And obviously, the younger crowd, I mean, it's hard to say the younger crowd because I feel like I'm in like this middle ground where I still relate to people who are younger than me, but I can also relate with their parents, which is kind of a weird spot. But it's definitely not going to be like the old fashioned way where we just tune in onto a radio station now. It's a lot of digital. I think as long as we create platforms where it kind of blends from digital to like car radios to social media, things like that, that's how we can keep people interested in this kind of landscape. I mean, you have to see if like, for instance, records, right? People love records now. That came back. I mean, I'm seeing things from like the 90s and early 2000s come back now. That's what I had when I was a kid, you know? So like these things always have go in cycles and they come back around. It's like a full circle. So I think as long as we market it the right way, we can have this younger generation interested. For me personally, I volunteer a lot with college radio stations and colleges around the nation pretty much, as much as I can. And I see that there is always interest in radio and TV and these types of platforms. So the interest is there. It's just making sure that we tailor it to them and be open to what they're interested in and how they're going to make it good for the next generations.
So you talked a little bit about distribution and making sure you're, you know, out there on different platforms. How can broadcasters break away from some of their existing models to try some of these new spaces? And we're talking both on the content side and also on the business side and trying to find a future on those different platforms.
Yeah, that's I feel like that's like the biggest question throughout the years of every conference that I've ever been to. And I really don't think there's one straight answer for it, honestly. Because I think every station, every platform, every broadcast company is different, right? But one thing I would say is that there has to be flexibility and there has to be openness to this new realm, right? I think for instance, a lot of like rules for companies were written at a time when the internet was just being started. So those are outdated. You can't have outdated rules because everyone has social media now. Everyone is doing things on TikTok or doing trends or whatever it may be. You're not going to stop that. So you're going to have to figure out a way that you can lean into it to benefit your company, but also allow it to help grow the brand of the person that is working with you. I think when companies try to squash that part of it, I think that's where there's a lot of like backlash and bumping heads because I mean, I get it. You're representing someone. And something that I always, and I still take this with me, even though this is like back in high school, right? I was in marching band. I had a varsity jacket. And they said, anytime you wear that varsity jacket, you're representing marching band, even if you're in a different state. And I took that to heart. Like I was very like, oh, wow, I have to make sure that I'm good. And I feel like that's kind of part of it, though. As long as you're working for a company, regardless if you're outside, you're, you know, doing something in your free time, you're still representing that company. So you have to keep that in mind. But also realize the company needs to realize that they, us, you and I, we're our own people, we're our own brand. But as long as we kind of can work together and blend those things, I think that's where it's going to really take off. And I think that's like one of the biggest questions and the biggest topics that I always see during conferences that I go to.
So, sorry, a lot of the staff at stations, radio in particular, tend to be, I'll say, old school. What advice would you have for an old school jock, for instance, who might struggle with engaging on these new platforms that they're just not used to dealing with?
Yeah, it's tough. I hear about it and I see it too. I mean, I think if they just allow, I mean, look, younger generations can always learn from the older generations on what was and what is still kind of going on. But the older generation also needs to understand that they can learn from the younger generation and be open to it. That's like, you know, no offense to my dad, but trying to teach him like how to do some emails sometimes. It's like he doesn't want to learn it. And I'm like, well, look, it's just how today is. You're gonna have to learn it. So just be open to learning that. And then that way we can work as a team to redevelop, you know, radio stations or our network of, you know, listenership and broaden the horizon of that and make it bigger and better. It's a hard bargain with that kind of stuff, but I think it's just going to be about teamwork and really just like evolving to the changing times. It's constantly changing, and I mean things that I knew 5 years ago is completely different to today's day and age. So it's not just the older generation, it's everybody. Everyone's trying to learn with AI. Everything's coming out super quick. We're not, we can't keep up with it. It's impossible, but we have to do our best to work together to at least be on the same level, I think.
Let's talk a bit about the relationship with local communities. How do broadcasters, how does that relationship need to evolve going forward to keep themselves relevant in their own communities that they're serving locally?
Well, I think that's super important, right? Whether you're on radio, your TV, or you're on social media or something, local news, local happenings are very important and take off all the time. I think when, you know, when we start syndicating everything, I'm not going to go against that because a lot of my friends are syndicated and, you know, I think it's a great thing too. But I think when we're taking, jobs away in sense of whether it's like late night, overnight, or just local jocks and hosts or whoever it may be, that hurts the company, that hurts the stations that we're listening to. Because you don't, for instance, when I was in LA, I had a very Jersey accent. And they're like, no one's gonna want to hear a Jersey accent. And I'm like, well, you're true. That's true. But I also try to make it where it was like, you know, the transplants that maybe were living in LA from New Jersey. I was like, I brought up this big debate that it was Taylor Ham or pork roll. And the phone lines lit up because of that. And even though it wasn't local, it was still something heartfelt. It was something local to me, or so local to someone who was listening that used to be from New Jersey, right? So if you have someone syndicated that's like kind of just speaking generic into generic breaks, it's not going to have that same feel as local reporting, local community events, things like that, showing up to those places, showing your face, and showing that you're with the people that you're list that are listening to you. I think that's like a big, big part of success with radio and has always been. And I think that's why maybe podcasts are doing so well, because podcasts are kind of, you can listen to your specific topic in podcasting. So maybe it's not like local, but there's a local topic to you, right? If that makes sense. I'm trying.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. And for all of you out there who have not had the experience of pork roll, egg and cheese, you should go out and get it.
You call it pork roll?
Yeah, I'm a pork roll guy,
I'm
sorry.
a Taylor Ham. See, that's what I'm saying.
Now the debate continues. All right, we'll be back. We're gonna debate this and
Next
that's right.
podcast.
So Dana, the trades and you're now an editor for Radio Inc. We always hear what broadcasters are doing wrong, what they can do better, how to improve. What are the sort of simple things that broadcasters are doing right now?
That's a good question. That's a good question. I mean, that's a loaded question because I think there's a lot that is going well, right? And from what I'm seeing is that flexibility and that openness to evolving times right now. I love that I see a lot of stations kind of going on different platforms, starting podcasts, as long as they're not completely repurposing the station's show, because I think that's a big mistake that I've seen a lot, where it's like you're taking exactly what was the show, you're taking out the breaks and you're putting it onto a podcast. I think you have to kind of add an extension to a show and put it into a podcast, right? So things like that, I think that's what stations and different networks are doing right. They're expanding their brand. And as long as they're being smart with that, I think that's like the ticket in to staying relevant in this time. Yeah, there's like a ton. I mean, these are super loaded questions because I feel like these are questions that everyone's talking about right now. And I think everyone has a different opinion on these topics, right? Depending on where you're located, your market, how old you are, whatever it may be. But I think there's always one centered topic or agreement, is that we all have to work together on this. I feel like back in the day in radio, sometimes it was kind of like hostile and very competitive, where, oh, this person's from this market and this person's from that market, or this station or that station, and they would not want to have conversation. They wouldn't want to work together or anything. And I don't see that as much as I used to in the past. I see at conferences everyone working together, everyone sticking together, making content together and blending. And I think that's like the key. And it's really nice to see that because I think it's better to work with people than against people. That's my thought.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great point. The media landscape has clearly changed where it's you're not competing against that station across town anymore. You're competing with Google and Apple and Spotify and vast podcast networks. So sort of similar vein to my last question, what are you seeing out there that's innovative and exciting to you in radio and television?
What's an innovative
What's something
take?
you see that just goes, wow, that's really awesome?
Oh man, I'm trying to think of what would be a really good. I'm like, what's a really awesome thing that I'm seeing right now? I mean, I love, and I know I've been talking about it a lot, but I'm loving just how people are blending together. Like I just mentioned, I think that's like very exciting. I like that there's a lot of teamwork going on, and similar to what I just said, it's kind of like us against the bigger brands now, right? It's not us against each other, it's us against bigger brands. And I love that, I didn't even go to Morning Show Boot Camp, right? I usually go every year. But I saw so many students and younger generation type broadcasters going there. It used to be a very it was always a lot of the older generation. And now I see a lot of people my age, younger, and students coming into these conferences. And back in the day, I feel like it was a lot more intimidating to go to these places because you didn't know these people. It was a lot of executives and CEOs and big brands, big stations, and it was scary to go. And you're like, well, how am I gonna keep up with these people at the in these rooms? But now it's kind of a blend of everyone, and everyone's getting together and coming together. So I think that's like the most exciting part about it, is just seeing that, whether you're a CEO or a student, you're in the same room, you're sitting next to each other, and you're having conversation. And there's that, there's that openness there where they're able to talk to each other, and it's not scary as it once was, maybe.
So we talked about broadcasters and their relationship with young producers and consumers. What's your message to the young producers and consumers about careers in broadcasting?
Don't get discouraged. Because I mean, a lot of people, when I first started out, would say, don't bet on it. Don't stay in this industry. You're not going to make money. It's not going to last for a long time. And I think, probably since the beginning of time, whether it was, radio or TV or whatever kind of broadcast network, there's always someone that's going to say, oh, it's not going to last long, it's going to change or something. Yeah, it's always changed. We don't have like TV guides like we used to, but now it's there's something, we used to have TV guides in the book. You know what I mean? Like,
My
but
kids were blown away when I explained TV guides to them not long ago.
oh my goodness. I was going through archives when I was still at ABC. I was going through archives, and I had to go through the cassettes. And this one girl, my colleague, she was like, what is this thing? I never seen it. I'm like, you never seen a cassette? I'm at that age now. This is crazy. So it's wild, but things are always going to be evolving no matter what. And like some things kind of go full circle, and it takes a few years, it takes 20 years, whatever it may be. Don't listen to naysayers. Don't listen to people that say it's not going to last, because people like me, people like you guys, the students that are still interested in this industry, those are the ones that are going to keep it alive. And if they listen to someone that says, oh, it's not going to happen, whatever, just quit now, then yeah, then it's not going to last. So you just can't listen to like the doubters, pretty much. And you just have to invest in, whatever you believe in, right? It might not be the most popular. I'm sure the first few people that started podcasts, it was like, oh, what are they doing? Or people that used to be on YouTube before TikTok, all these things, were new at the time. People tried it, but look, they're super successful now. So, I would just say keep going with it. The one thing I would say for the younger, the students coming in, I hate saying the younger generation. I feel like I'm like 80 or something like that. No,
Kids.
I'm just like, I don't know. It just sounds weird. But what I would say is like for the students coming into the industry now, just realize that it's a slow roll. It's a gradual thing. And for instance, when I started out, I was making like $10 an hour. I say that there was like a paycheck one time. It took me $20 to get into the city every day, and I got a paycheck for 30. So I made 20. No, I made $10 because it was $20 to get into the city to get the paycheck. So like, there's gonna be days like that, but get your foot in the door and move up that way. And as long as you're really going straight at it, you're not gonna fail.
Good advice. So what is the one thing that you want radio and television broadcasters to take away from this conversation?
Don't squash the possibilities and the opportunities that anyone can bring to a company. I think, when we're stuck in our ways or we're used to the day-to-day, and I mean, I know that we have to follow protocol, but I think as long as you're open, and I know I keep saying that, but it's really about just having an open mind to what people can bring in to a company. And it's important not to talk down to someone or, think that you're above somebody or something. Sorry, my cat. Think that you're above somebody or, that this will never work, right? If like, hey, let's get our station a TikTok or something like that. No, it's not gonna happen. It's not gonna be a good thing, good idea. Don't go against these ideas. Welcome ideas, welcome different people's interests. And I think it's also important to stay kind of local if you can, to make sure that, like, I don't know, the station stays relevant in a certain way. You have to kind of brand to your market, I guess.
Well, thank you to Dana Schaefer for joining us today on this episode of Broadcast Advocate. Please be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. To learn more about the National Alliance of State Broadcasters Association, visit our website, nasbaonline.net. Thank you again, Dana, for joining us. And for Jordan Walton, I'm Kyle Geisler. Stay tuned for our next episode of Broadcast Advocate.